Whānau. Welcome back to the yummiest place on the whole Kapiti Coast in Hora Whenua, because Gail's come in with cake. We love Gail. Hello,
Gail. They love me. Well, I thought I'd better do my best, you know, because I did actually give out that recipe, last week or the week before,
yep.
Moroccan apple cake, and I thought, and it was just out of the oven. So, guys, I just didn't have time for it to cool down. So I bought it here. I haven't had a piece myself yet. Somebody sampled it, but we'll have a piece later.
Well, as I put on the Facebook post, because obviously if you're listening to this right now, it's Saturday morning on Coast Access Radio. I posted it on Wednesday when Gail came into the studio, which is today. Are you confused? Anyway, I said I'll have a bite of it after we've finished recording. So watch this space. Otherwise, I'll be salivating. But we're starting with ginger slice, which sounds particularly good if you're into gingery things.
Well, yes. Well, my ginger slice that I always make is the one that you see in cafes and everything with that lovely big thick ginger icing on
ginger
it.
Ginger crunch.
Beautiful. Absolutely. I love it. It used to be my favourite, but I've got lots of favourites now. But when I saw this one, I thought to myself, ginger slice, what's that? And then I realised it was quite different. So I thought, I'm going to give this recipe out to the listeners because it is quite different and it looks good. And it's 125 grams of butter softened. Now, a half a cup of caster sugar, 2 eggs separated, 1.5 cups of self-raising flour, a third of a cup of caster sugar. No, I'm not repeating myself, which I think Tania thought I was.
Yeah.
But half a cup of coconut and 2/3 of a cup of, now, I've say Rose's ginger marmalade, and I'm promoting that, but hey, it's because I'm not sure whether there's many other marmalades that actually have ginger in them. I don't know. Mm. But if you've just got normal marmalade, well, there's nothing to stop you. Exactly. Gee, she's getting professional, this girl. She thought of that herself.
That crystallised stuff that I used to give to my nana at Christmas time, you could chop that up and...
Well, you could actually. Thing, yeah, mince that up a little bit, or you could just get a little bit out of your powdered ginger and mix it up with the normal marmalade. But this is saying that you can already buy. So in a bowl, cream the butter and sugar together thoroughly. Now, I hope you're good at separating your egg yolks, you know, from your whites because, you know, it's quite an exercise. And so you're adding your egg yolks, but it doesn't really matter in the whites whether you do get a little bit of yolk in it because you're not making a pavlova, okay? So it's not too bad. So separate the egg yolks, add the egg yolks to that cream butter and sugar and beat well. And stir in the flour to form a dough. So this is a dough. Now, just a slab tin, and when I say a slab tin, you know the slab tins that you'd put your slice in. You actually line it with baking paper and then press that dough evenly over the base. You know, sort of press it down with your clean hands and then you're spreading over the ginger marmalade, over the dough. Now, whip the egg whites until stiff. And they will get quite stiff, but don't, you know, be upset if you have got a little bit of yolk in there. It won't matter too much. And then gradually add your second lot of sugar. That's why there was two lots of sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And beat until stiff and glossy and then fold through that coconut. And then spoon that coconut mixture over the marmalade. And bake the slice for 30 to 35 minutes in an oven preheated to 180 degrees Celsius. Now, this is quite a different ginger slice, but leave in the pan to cool and cut into fingers or squares and store in an airtight container. So a little bit different to the ginger crunch, and probably the base of this won't have that crunch, of course, because it's sort of like a floury mixture. So not like the other one, the crunch. It seems to have that lovely sort of crunchy base. So just something different that I thought that you might like other than the normal ginger crunch with that lovely thick icing.
It sounds like it's got... like a meringue, like a lemon meringue pie.
It has. That's why it appealed to me, Tania, because I looked at it and I read through it and I thought, but that's a bit different. So let's go for that. We try to do things like that on this great station that we're, you know, recording from.
Absolutely. And of course, you're on Coast Access Radio 104.7 FM. Thanks for that, Gail. Actually, I'm going to keep this one for my mum because mum is quite a fan of marmalade. I like the sweeter ones, but she would be into the ginger marmalade and she likes coconut.
Yeah. Mm. And I've actually seen that on the supermarket shelves.
Yeah.
Rose's ginger marmalade. So there you are.
Rose's. So, they've been around since Adam was a cowboy, right?
Okay. Well, basically, once you've done the, you know, taken out enough for your slice, there it is for breakfast, you know.
Absolutely.
On marmalade and toast. I love it.
Yeah, yum. Right. So we're going from the ginger slice, that's something a little bit different, to fresh capsicum pasta.
Yes. Well, I just thought this is, I like pasta and I like sort of seeing things that are different with it. So when I saw this and I thought to myself, well, I don't think it's really capsicum, you know, season at the moment, but
keep it for summer.
Just keep it there. And when you see them coming down a little bit, when I looked at it and I thought, maybe not, but too bad, I decided that I was going to have this. And I liked the look of the ingredients. And I thought, no, let's go for it. And, you know, like Tanya says, you could put the recipe away. It'll always be on our page anyway, so you can scout back and find it.
But, absolutely.
Yeah, we're starting off with 300 grams of dried penne pasta. And I think that's because it doesn't really matter too much, but it sort of goes with the recipe. One onion finely diced, one clove of garlic crushed, one tablespoon of butter, two tablespoons of flour, 3/4 of a cup of chicken or veggie stock, 3/4 of a cup of natural yogurt, 1/2 teaspoon of black cracked pepper. Well, to me, that would be a good grind, you know, just a couple of good grinds there with the black pepper, and one red capsicum and one green capsicum finely diced. And I think, you know, the colour there in itself with the green and the red, I think that's appealing to me as well because good to the eye. So we're cooking the pasta according to the instructions on the packet. And then while that's cooking, you can actually, you know, continue with the rest of the recipe. Melt butter in a saucepan and sauté the onion and garlic until soft. Stir in the flour, because you're sort of making a roux, aren't you, with the flour. Then gradually add the stock. So gradually, so you don't get that lumpy. Use a little wee miniature whiz stick if you like. But just make sure you, you know, don't get those lumps. So stir in the flour. Gradually add the stock. Stir and simmer until thickened. And then cook for 2 minutes. Carefully, you know, add the yogurt and the black pepper and 1/2 of the green and red capsicum slices. Now, I looked at this, and when I read it over again, Tanya, I just sort of thought, it says, add 1/2 of the green and red capsicum slices. Well, I'd be a bit intent of adding a little bit more to the actual cooked pasta, you know, to the cooked dish, because you're heating it through over a low heat, and please do not let it boil. You've just put yogurt in it. Just let it, you know, just slowly warm, and serve the sauce over that cooked and drained pasta, which is, you know, really lovely to look at, and garnish with the remaining capsicum slices. Well, that's fine. I think that's fine. It's going to look great, but you don't need 1/2 of a capsicum each to decorate it. And I think less is more, you know, for the eye.
Yeah.
So basically you've cut it up and then just sprinkle a little bit over just to give it that colour. So to me, my preference is a little bit more than 1/2 the capsicum each and just leave a little bit for it to actually put over the top and make it look nice.
Otherwise you have half cooked and half not cooked.
That's
It'll be
right.
Different temperatures.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. I looked at that, so I read it again and I thought, do I prefer cooked, a little bit of cooked capsicum, or do I want, you know, quite a bit of the same raw on top? So no, I would, my ideal is to do that. So it's up to you guys, but I think that's me. That's how I would work it anyway.
I'll tell you what, keep your eye on those capsicum prices when they start to come down. Yes. This is a really quick one for dinner. So easy, eh?
It is, yeah. And that appealed to me as well. And most people have a little bit of yogurt. Make sure that it's not flavoured strawberry or anything like that by accident.
Yeah,
but this was a good one, I thought. Yeah, and it comes under the the banner of shoestring ideas. So basically not an expensive one, but it depends on what time of the year you decide to make it, of course. Yeah.
Yeah,
so keep an eye. Sometimes on those side stalls, or people grow them and they like to put them out on their little stalls in the front for considerably cheaper than what you can buy them in the supermarket.
Yeah. Exactly. So keep your eyes peeled when you're travelling across Horowhenua and Kapiti for those little roadside stalls.
Mm.
All right, Mrs. Hot Stuff. I thought we might play something by the... Well, people don't know what you look like today, do you? That's the benefit of radio. She's sitting here in a bikini. No, she's not really. We're going to play the Rolling Stones and Hot Stuff.
Oh, that's great. I like that.
Especially for our Gail. was spicy, but not too hot. It's the Rolling Stones with Hot Stuff, and you're on At the Table with Gail on Coast Access Radio. She's still got her head in the Commonwealth Games, I think. She's jaunting all around the world. Today we're off to Hungary to have chicken paprika, which also isn't hot stuff. It's just tasty paprika.
It's just tasty with the paprika. And, I just sort of thought, since we travelled the world in one of our sessions, and I saw this in the Hungarian recipe, and I thought, oh, well, we're still sort of getting back home, so let's just, you know, have Hungarian chicken paprika. And it looks really lovely.
It does.
And did you watch the closing ceremony?
No, I didn't. But didn't we do well?
We did. Congratulations to all those that are listening that have participated in any way. You could have been a supporter. It means a lot to them.
There were a few locals too, I believe. Yes. Actually, there were a few people from Otaki were somehow involved. Mm. A friend of mine, Kirsten Fulford. Oh. Kirsten Fulford kept posting things about, watch this, there's an Otaki person. And I was like,
Right. Yeah, but, well, it's good to be a supporter too as well, because, you know, they really, really, it's nice to be standing there and or doing what you do and knowing that, you know, you've got some family watching you. It's really, you know, heartening.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but I loved it. Yeah, I loved it. Now, we're going to move on to this recipe. So we're going to start off with 8 chicken pieces, 1/4 cup of flour. Now, sea salt, which is that lovely coarse salt, and you've probably got a grinder, so a good grind of that. And same with the black cracked pepper, a good grind of black pepper. 1 tablespoon of chicken stock powder. 1 tablespoon of paprika ground. Now, I used to sort of look at paprika and cayenne, and I always used to think, yes, a little pinch of cayenne, and you can actually go overboard with the paprika because it's mainly for colour.
I love smoked paprika, and I use it a lot, but I never measure it. But with cayenne pepper, my eyes just went huge then.
Because they're both the same colour, so don't put them next to each other in your pantry. 3 tablespoons of oil, 1 onion, 125 grams of mushrooms, 440 gram can of pureed tomatoes, and 1/4 cup of sour cream and 1 tablespoon of chopped parsley. Now, with these chicken pieces, you remove as much skin from the chicken pieces as possible. Mix the flour, salt, pepper, stock powder, and paprika together in a plastic bag and toss the chicken pieces in the bag and give them a really good toss. See them all coat, and that's why you take off most of the skin if you can. Mm. Heat oil in a large saucepan and brown the chicken pieces on all sides. So, you know, you'll have to just give them a bit of a move around to make sure that they are, you know, sort of moved around and browned. Chop the onion finely and add to the saucepan and cook for 3 to 4 minutes. Wipe the mushrooms clean. Do you wipe your mushrooms or wash them?
I do wipe them with a handy towel because if you turn them upside down, the water gets into those little bits and weighs them down.
That's right, and turns the flavour sort of, you know, you miss the flavour a little bit if you do that. But I do, I wipe my mushrooms too, and I actually peel them. I peel them. I don't always peel them, but I do wipe them because, you know, they always look most of them look nice and clean anyway when you get them, you know, when you buy them. But it's good to give them a little bit of a wipe down, like you say, with a paper towel. So you're adding those and the tomato puree to the saucepan. Cover and simmer for 15 minutes or until the chicken is cooked. So you can just pierce that and you'll know whether it's cooked or it'll just sort of fall apart. I hope they don't, because I think you serve them as they are, you know, the chicken pieces. Now, stir in the sour cream and then serve sprinkled with chopped parsley, and serve with freshly cooked pasta or roast potatoes on the side.
Yum.
Now, I know this is a tip, and I don't know whether you would do it, and I've never done it, but if you want to take off that skin off the chicken, you can actually grill it.
Oh, yeah.
Have you done that before? Oh, until it's crispy and use as a topping.
Yeah.
Oh, look at, she's, it's like a werewolf here. She's just going crazy. And use it on top of a salad, which I've never done.
Oh, yeah. When you've got, crispy, like, say, a big a big chicken leg and you got that horrible lumpy old skin, if you can pull it off and you put on some baking paper under the grill, got to watch it though.
Yeah,
it goes like crackling and it is...
Oh, it's beautiful,
just divine and yummy. Mm. And even if you just sort of balance that on top of your chicken paprika, it makes for a slightly, I don't know, flesh-looking sort of garnish.
Wow. Well,
except I probably wouldn't. You'd probably get a tiny sprinkle of that.
Yeah.
Because I would go,
Well, anyway, that was something I've never tried. And I thought, well, I'll give that to you because otherwise you'll just toss it in the... And the rubbish
don't
can.
Toss it.
Yeah.
Well, maybe I should, because then I wouldn't have a spare tire if I ate those things all the time.
And that's what you can do with it. Mm. So there you are. Something I learnt too as well.
Waste not, want not.
No, that's right. Yeah. So that's our chicken paprika recipe from Hungary, Hungarian chicken paprika.
And it's easy. That sounds so easy. I'm going to have a go at that.
Yeah, well, I think we've had quite a few easy ones this morning, haven't we?
Yeah.
So, no, very good. And if you're up to it, you can actually almost serve these as well, which is golden syrup and lemon tarts.
Well, they sound good.
And this is easy too as well. So here, first course, chicken paprika. Second course, golden syrup and lemon tarts. And, of course, if you want to make your pastry, you can. But I reach for the freezer, you know, when I, you know, if I haven't got time. I'm not saying that I don't even make it, but this takes 2 sheets of the frozen puff pastry. Okay, so I'm not sure whether they actually mean, you know, like the prepared sheets. I think it would mean that because the other ones are blocks, aren't they?
It does come in a block.
Yeah, it does come in a block. So whatever it is, you've frozen, frozen puff pastry anyway. So, you know, use that. Now, this is for the filling. 1/4 cup of fresh breadcrumbs. I thought I was reading an Aunt Daisy recipe when I first looked at that, and I thought, that's the sort of thing that she'd do, you know, put into something like this. 1/4 cup of fresh breadcrumbs, you know, in those times it was tough. But anyway, 1 cup of golden syrup, 150 mils of cream, 2 eggs lightly beaten, and the zest and juice of 1 lemon. Okay, look, there we are, easy peasy. Preheat the oven to 180 degrees Celsius. Now, lightly grease, I sort of thought maybe patty pan type thing, or if you've got them a little bit bigger. Some have got 8 in them. Some of them have got 12, 10, whatever. So just use up your pastry, okay? So you're actually going to use a round pastry cutter and cut into rounds and put them into those prepared pans, okay? So... and only just lightly grease them. Rest in the freezer for 5 minutes. That'll just sort of firm them up a little bit because you're actually going to bake these blind, okay?
Mm.
So basically, to do that, I know that I've got those. I think I've spoken to you before, Tanya, about my macaroni that I used, and it's pretty dark now. And one of these days I'm going
to
get some the proper things, the marble type things. But in this, you can actually place a little bit of scrunched up foil into each of those little pans just to keep it sort of the base flat and bake it for 5 to 8 minutes and you're at 180 degrees. Now, remove from the oven and reduce the heat because next thing you're going to be putting in these lovely little tarts. So reduce the heat to 160. Not forgetting, of course, to remove the foil because I don't want to bite into one of those golden syrup lemon tarts and get a piece of foil at the bottom of it. So just don't forget to take those out. Easy enough to forget if you're in a hurry. Now, the filling is sprinkle the base of each, you know, pan, your round pans. Put in a little bit of the breadcrumbs at the bottom. Okay, so you're just dishing that out between it. So it's not probably many. I think it's to absorb some of that, you know, moisture, which is the eggs, etc. In a bowl, whisk together all the ingredients. Okay, so that's what you've got left after the fresh breadcrumbs. And then divide the mixture evenly between the pastry shells. And bake for 10 to 12 minutes until filling is puffed. So you'll see that. And slightly wobbly. We've talked about wobbly before in the center. Well, I could say I'm wobbly in the center. Yeah, Tania's laughing there. She feels the same.
Yep.
And then allow to cool. and then serve those dusted with icing sugar. Anything that's got sifted dusting, you know, of icing sugar over the top always looks appealing. You know, it just gives it that lovely finish. And cream, of course. We haven't mentioned cream for a long time, but yeah, that'd be very nice, you know, served with cream.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So really lovely just for a main and this little dessert here.
I think they sound quite nice, actually. I think, yeah. A little old fashioned, my mum would like that as well.
Well, that's right. And that's what I said when I saw it. And I said, a quarter of a cup of fresh breadcrumbs. Oh, okay. But no, that's fine because a lot of people have spare bread and it's fresh breadcrumbs. So yeah, takes up a little space in your pans. So I just think that's another nice, simple recipe.
Lovely. Mm. Golden syrup and lemon tarts.
Oh, I love golden syrup. Oh, that cake that I've made that you're talking about,
I'm
that
have
I bought
soon.
in on Wednesday. I was amazed at the brown sugar that was in that. So you're not a diabetic, are you, Dana? Because, you know, I looked and I thought, I had to look at the recipe twice. And I thought, is that much sugar? So I went back to the recipe. Yes, it is. So that's where the, you know, a lot of that lovely flavour comes in with the cinnamon and everything like that. But you can see it on the website anyway. But
absolutely,
it's been great. Great again.
Thank you. And I tell you what, we didn't eat the whole cake, so we're not going to die of diabetes here at Coast Access Radio. And we appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, okay.
Catch you next time.
This program is made with assistance from New Zealand On Air for radio broadcast and through the accessmedia.nz website. Thank you, New Zealand On Air.